podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Emergency FYP podcast. Emergency because it's just been announced that Roy Hodgson has departed from Crystal Palace. Whether he's been sacked or whether he's gone by his own volition, either way, Roy is gone. The decision has been made with Crystal Palace heading into a crucial fixture against Everton. I'm here with JD, Jack and Dom Fifield. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're fine, love an emergency pod.
Yeah, don't you just love an emergency pod?
Been on standby for a few days.
That's so, it. Yeah, we've all been waiting eagerly to see what's going on. The timing of it is kind of sensible, really. In the grand scheme of things, he's not going to be stood on the sidelines at Everton at Goodison Park, and with the potential for Oliver Glasner to take the job shortly, it kind of feels like they needed to close this chapter at some point. Do you feel that, what are your thoughts on it, Dom, in terms of everything that's happened and everything that's been going on in the last week?
Where to start? I'm primarily sad that it's come to this. I love the statement that's been released with the quotes from Roy and from Steve Parrish are very, very affectionate, very heartwarming. It makes clear the affection that in which he holds the club, and indeed the affection in which he is held by the club's hierarchy for everything he's done in the seasons that he's managed Crystal Palace. In truth, I don't think it's been handled particularly well in the last couple of weeks, if I'm perfectly honest. I mean, I know that circumstances have complicated matters, not least the incident at the training ground on Thursday when Roy Hodgson fell ill, which obviously has left the club in a state of limbo going into arguably their biggest game of the season this evening at Goodison Park. I pray to God that I'm proved wrong on this, but when we reconvene for the post-match pod this evening, I suspect we'll be picking over the bones of a very difficult Crystal Palace performance, because I don't think the preparation has been ideal for it. But I suppose that's a small little incident over the course of the last 2 weeks. I just don't think that things have been done well over the last 2 weeks, if I'm perfectly honest. But this is where we're at. We all knew that Roy Hodgson was likely to be leaving. And we all know that Oliver Glasner is likely to be coming in. I suppose the statement is a way of salvaging some kind of PR exercise in that, because the PR of everything in the last 2 weeks has been pretty miserable, if I'm honest. But we move on. It's a great shame. We'll miss him. I think we will miss him, because he has done a tremendous job with the resources at his disposal. And it's right that he should be held in proper.
Oh, we've lost him.
We've lost him. He was right in the middle of a flow of brilliance.
The emotion has got to him.
Yeah, it really, that's it. In the meantime,
Can I step in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I agree with everything Dom said there, and hopefully he'll rejoin us. But I think my overriding emotion right now is sort of one of relief that it's just sort of put to bed now, because we've had so many twists and turns over the last few days, over the last few weeks, over the last few months, really. And it's as someone who is, you know, a card-carrying member of the Roy Apologist Society, it's kind of been really, really sad to see. I think most Palace fans wanted Roy to do well this time around, and it hasn't worked out in the way we'd hoped, and there's been various factors in that, but you know, and not least obviously his turn for his health turn over the weekend, which I see Palace have like buried in the last line of the press conference, press release. If that was me, I'd be leading with that. But by the way, Roy's fine, and then get on with the news that he's stepping down. But that's good to hear. So obviously we send Roy all our best, but it's just, you know, I think Dom alluded to this. It feels a little bit like he's just sort of been hung out to dry and flogged a bit for the last few weeks, probably down to the fact that he is such a committed football man that he will just get on with the job. When there was reports on Twitter that he wanted to be involved tonight in some way, I mean, literally just come out of hospital. But I think that shows the commitment to football to this guy, that he just loves the game so much. And I think loves the club so much that he just wanted to be involved. And it's actually been a bit sad, I think, seeing not just the way that I don't think the club have helped him, but in some of the social media comments, and it's all, everyone's had knives out for Roy, and it's just, I'm actually just a bit relieved it's over. I don't know if Glasner's going to work out. Really hope he is. And we've already given it away. We talked to Johnny Ertel, and we've got a little bit of an insight into Glasner from him, and Johnny was very positive. So we'll put that out this week as well. But it's I'm just kind of relieved it's all over, and I wish Roy the best, and I hope he can recover now and do whatever he chooses to do with his life, whether it's in football or not. But I'm kind of just the drama of the last few weeks and months has just been a bit, firstly I kind of got sick of talking about Roy, and I sort of got sick of the way he's sort of being treated by everyone. So yeah, I'm kind of just relieved it's over, to be honest.
I think it's damaging in terms of the kind of the leaks that happened around the last couple of weeks, especially with the Glasner story breaking in the way that it did. Whatever the machinations of that happening are concerned, I think it really has kind of undermined Roy Hodgson somewhat in terms of the build-up to this game. And it's, while I understand that leaks happen, the optics of it are just a little bit challenging, really. I think the impression I get is that Roy was unaware that this was happening. And I imagine some football managers would be unaware. But then for that story to break and it kind of becoming very much the news, and then it was just a matter of waiting to see exactly when the club would actually sack him, or when that agreement would come in place. It just feels a bit off, doesn't it, Jack?
Yeah, I've found the last, what is it now, 96 hours or so quite confusing. I mean, fundamentally, the best news is that clearly Roy is in better health than he was on Thursday lunchtime. I think goes about saying that that's been the utmost importance for most Palace fans, that he was getting better and has got better, clearly, because it sounds like it was, yeah, a significant worry at the training ground on Thursday. So that's pleasing. But, yeah, the way the story's broken, seemingly somewhat delayed by events on Thursday, it's very confusing for anyone watching in from outside, let alone for Palace fans watching our own club. I'm with Jim in terms of relief that it's finally being called. I have to remember, we have actually, and you've alluded to it already, all three of you, have a very important Premier League match to play in 3.5 hours' time. And it does seem that fixture has somewhat been, hopefully not foregone, but as Dom says, I wouldn't be surprised if you guys are talking on the post-match about a rather difficult evening and what is going to be a febrile atmosphere at Goodison, because they need the point. So, yeah, I'm glad the kind of last 96 hours are beyond us now. Presumably the appointment of the new manager will follow quickly, presumably tomorrow, and we'll see where we go from that. You know, whatever happens tonight, Saturday at home to Burnley is going to be absolutely huge, and I just hope we're in a place that we can give everything we need to on Saturday, because that fixture is getting bigger by every passing minute.
We're also joined by Ben Long. How are you doing, Ben?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Rob. Good to see you, mate.
Good, good. What are your thoughts on everything that's happened in the last 96 hours or whatever it is?
It's good to finally get an announcement of some sort, because I feel like all we've been doing all weekend is just waiting for the announcement, waiting for any news at all, really. I mean, it's been radio silence from everyone, from the club itself and even the people that do get information and know stuff. It's been absolute silence. So it's been a worrying time first and foremost, I'm just happy to hear the news that Roy is feeling a lot better than he was, because ultimately that's the most important thing. But yeah, it's been a long weekend, mate. Finally, we've got one announcement, and I'm sure the second one will follow at some point. So yeah, it's not easy being a Palace fan, is it?
It certainly isn't. We're going to go back to Dom, who has returned. If you can pick up where you left off, Dom, at all, then
where did I leave off? I don't even know where I cut out. It
basically,
was too much.
Dom, since you were cut off, Glasner has been appointed Palace.
Oh, God. Has he been sacked yet?
Yes, he has. Yeah, he's stepped down. He's gone to Bayern Munich. but Dom, you'd said that it'd been handled poorly over the last couple of weeks, and that this is kind of it's left a little bit of a sour taste, I think.
Yeah, I that's how I feel. I mean, I just think that this should have been resolved quickly after, if indeed there was going to be a managerial change, and I'm led to believe there was after the Brighton defeat, then it really should have happened in days after the Brighton loss. It would have given Palace more opportunity to prepare for Chelsea and clearly for Everton. The way that it has worked out, and look, don't get me wrong, the stuff that happened on Thursday last week at the training ground made that difficult, and obviously made it very, very, very hard for Palace, say, to sack Roy Hodgson when he's in a hospital bed. I mean, that would have been callous in the extreme. Albeit, I suppose the cynic out there would say, well, the club has to think, still plan ahead, et cetera, et cetera. And that's also the implication of what I'm just saying, is that I wanted Roy Hodgson to be sacked, and that isn't the case, as I think is very obvious from everything I've said over the last few months on the podcast. But I just think that there has been this void, as you've all alluded to. We've all known where this was going. This was all heading in one direction, and yet it's almost like we're writing off games in the meantime without, you know, the Chelsea match, the Everton game potentially, and I think that is risky. I think Palace's predicament is very worrying and very real, and it will be, you know, hopefully this evening we can put some calm in the proceedings, but you know, the way that the preparation has been for a very difficult trip to Goodison Park, it would be a hell of a performance for Palace to come away with anything from that, because, you know, it's been all over the place for the last few days.
Do you think some of the radio silence, and we're talking radio silence, I mean, the club haven't communicated anything since the statement about Roy being taken ill at the training ground. So it's basically nearly 3 days worth of not saying anything, nothing going out on social media, no videos, no images, no clips, nothing. Do you think some of that is to try and avoid the spectre of a distraction on the preparation for the team prior to this big game, and that they've kind of they've been conscious that anything that they put out is going to end up with some kind of pushback potentially, and that they've tried to handle this as well as they possibly could in terms of it being a very much a PR tightrope that they're kind of walking along?
Since Thursday, it's been taken out of their hands, and it's been made very difficult. My gripe isn't with everything since Thursday. Right, it's with the 2 weeks before that. I mean, it's an impossible PR situation since last Thursday. And let's be realistic. From the moment Roy collapsed at the training ground, Paddy McCarthy and Ray Lewington were taking the team at Goodison Park.
Yeah.
So in terms of the preparing the players in that little Saturday, Sunday, stroke Monday period, that's set in stone from that moment. But no, my issue is with the preceding 2 weeks, because it called for a decision to be made. You either come out and say Roy Hodgson is the man to keep Crystal Palace in the division. He's got a contract to the end of the season. We're going to honour that. We believe that once he gets the players back fit, that he is the man to keep us in the Premier League, and we put our faith in him. Or you say the recent run of results hasn't been good enough, even if the performance, well, actually, the performance against Brighton was awful. So it was the performance against Chelsea was passable, but But, you know, the results have been that bad. We need to make a change. We feel as if the time is right to make a change and accelerate the process of bringing a new manager, which we were going to do in the summer, but we're going to do it now. And we do it now because that gives us a few more days to prepare, a few more days for the new man to look at the squad and work out what he wants to do with said squad. And you just make that decision. And it doesn't appear as if that decision was made. It just sort of lingered on in this state of hiatus until, okay, maybe that Thursday. That Thursday was the day when the decisions were going to be made, and that's when the announcement was going to happen, and then actually things then escalated and were taken out of their hands. But look, it is what it is. It's a sad day, essentially, that Roy Hodgson has moved on. There will be fans out there that think this is the right thing to have done, and brilliant. We can at least move on now with a new manager, a new exciting future. It's a hard job for Glasner, because coming in mid-season is hard enough. Coming in with 13 games left after tonight and trying to impose your philosophy, work out a way of playing with players that you didn't buy, you didn't bring in, that will be effective. That's a tough ask in the Premier League, particularly when you've never worked in the Premier League before. But you know, you look at what his CV and you think, well, okay, there may well be a very positive future with this head coach in charge. But for the moment, it's thanks and farewell to Roy Hodgson, who really does hold this club in his heart. He will always retain that affection for the club. I know he's found the last few weeks difficult, when things have turned and the atmosphere in the stadium and the abuse to which he's been subjected to, hard to tolerate all that. You know, people can look at themselves and how they've behaved on that, quite frankly. I think he's acted with class. He's been an excellent ambassador for this club, and he's done a very, very good job with the resources at his disposal throughout his time at Palace.
Yeah, it's I think the behaviour that we saw from some fans, I mean, the bottle being thrown at him after the Bournemouth game, I think it was, and then some of the abuse that I saw after the Chelsea defeat was just uncalled for, really. But hopefully he doesn't take that as being representative of the majority of Palace fans, who've been very, I think, appreciative of everything that he's done for the club, and can understand that circumstances haven't always made it easy for him, and in this case it definitely hasn't been the case, especially with injuries.
Well, I think no manager deserves that.
No, of course.
But least of all someone like Roy, who, as Dom says, holds the club dearly in his heart. I think sometimes more than the club holds him in their heart, if I'm being totally honest, but he certainly is a fan. It's weirdly quite heartwarming and also kind of like a bit frustrating on social media now. I'm just like flicking through, and loads of people are saying really nice things about Roy, quite rightly, as they should do, but on quite a few accounts that definitely weren't saying nice things about him 96 hours previously, and probably saying some pretty nasty things. But if this is the way it ends, that everyone's saying nice things about him, then fair play, because he does deserve that. And I have to say, like, I agree with everything Dom said about the radio silence there. I actually think the radio silence over the weekend hasn't been helpful, in that I think most Palace fans are good people who care about Roy and his state of his health. It would have been nice to have had slightly more updates on how Roy's doing health-wise over the weekend, even if there was no updates on the managerial situation, but just letting us know he's responsive in hospital or whatever. Because I think a lot of people were genuinely really, really worried about him, regardless of what they thought about his managerial ability. So,
yeah, it almost feels like the human element of everything was kind of lost in the mire of everything that went on. I think before we finish off the pod, let's just remember one, if you can think of one favourite Roy Hodgson memory over the course of his tenure, that would be really helpful. Just have a think quickly. For me, my favourite one was the Watford game where he came back as manager and witnessed Watford losing and then didn't go over to their fans and clap, but instead came to Palace fans, and it really pissed them off as they got relegated. So that was a classic Roy Hodgson moment for me. But we can talk about performances. I mean, there were, you know, the Man City away wins and everything else. What are your thoughts, Jack? Do you have anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, the one that springs to mind is I would say two, but I will just say one. His first win as Palace manager against Chelsea, when we had lost the first seven without scoring and injuries. And that afternoon, you know, Roy himself had not managed since England being knocked out by Iceland. So he'd been out of the game for, you know, 14, 15 months when he was appointed. And even after losing three games appointed, two of which were in Manchester, he was already kind of being written off in the sense of he's not going to be the guy. And then we beat Chelsea, who I think were reigning champions, I think, possibly. Yeah. And when Wilf curled that one into the bottom corner, we went 2-1 up. For the first time that season, it felt like Selhurst, and it felt like we had the right man in the dugout. And that season, whatever came afterwards, Roy performed a miracle that season, I thought, in terms of keeping us after that start to that season. And then has only gone on to do what he's done with the club, which I think over time will look an even better achievement at the way he's guided the club to, you know, so many years of top flight football. And whatever fans' thoughts are about Roy today, his achievement will be harnessed in time, because it's the first manager to have done that for the club. And I'm very grateful that Roy Hodgson has been the manager of Crystal Palace Football Club for as long as he has been.
Longy, what are your thoughts? What's your favourite Roy Hodgson memory?
Before I say, the ending of Roy at Palace is particularly hard, because I've always felt an affinity with a bloke, because believe it or not, he was my mum's PE teacher at school. Back in the day when he was at Monk's Hill School, which became Selsdon High School, which I went to, and Wilf actually went to that school as well. I've always felt an affinity with him when he was England manager. And when he came to Palace, I thought this has been a long time coming. Like, I've been waiting pretty much his whole career for him to be the Palace manager. What he did in the first season was unbelievable. Like, the start we had, and even when he came in, we're losing to Southampton and then back-to-back defeats in Manchester, heavy defeats. And then the way he turned around that team with little resources at first, playing Wilf and Andros up front, for me, was unbelievable. And one thing I will say is he kept this team and the squad in the division during COVID, when we didn't spend any money and we managed to build that magnificent academy. So he used to take a lot of credit for all that stuff. And when the dust has settled, I hope we do get to say a proper goodbye to him. Hopefully we stay in the league this year and he gets that last game of the season. That'd be absolutely magnificent. But my favourite Hodgson moment, probably Watford at home when we nicked it in the last minute. I think
MacArthur,
that was
it?
Did we get out of the relegation zone for the first time that season?
Yeah.
Just everything about it. Obviously it was all about Wilf and the winning it late on, and that's probably my favourite Roy Hodgson moment, I think.
The noise from that was incredible, wasn't it? Yeah. It was just such that MacArthur goal was, it was magic.
Body everywhere, proper limbs.
Yeah, it really was.
Can I jump in on Longy's point there? It's really interesting about feeling an affinity to Roy, because I think we all kind of did. I mean, you had a really special connection there. And I know quite a few Palace fans who had similar sort of connections to South London as well, and Roy, his previous job before football. I think we all did in a way, because he was from South London, he was a Palace fan, is a Palace fan. I think we all, certainly when he first joined in 2017, that was a connection that we all felt something for. And actually, I think it'll be a long time before we have a Palace manager from South London. Sorry, Palace fan from South London as manager again. Like, I think that's actually a very special thing that doesn't happen very often, and one that was successful with us as well, and, you know, kept us in the top flight for five seasons. So, unarguably successful, and in many people's eyes, our best ever manager. So I think all those components make a very special person and a very special manager for this club. And that doesn't happen often, and it won't happen again for a long time. And yes, there's been highs and lows, as there is with any managerial spell. And yes, recently there's been a lot of challenges for Roy and for all us fans. But I'm glad that people today are remembering the good times. Of which there were many, because I think that is the right thing to do for someone that has represented us impeccably and clearly loves the club and loves football and has delivered us loads of great moments over the last 6 years, you know, give or take a few years out. So
do you have a memory, JD, something that comes to mind?
Well, I was going to say either of the Watford, the Macca one, or the Chelsea one is good. I really like the recent moment where he laughed at Pep on the touchline. When we'd equalised, possibly. He just has that kind of, I don't know, he's able to sort of diffuse situations with a sort of friendly smile sometimes. And there's been loads of those moments. And I think there will be plaudits now all week from press conferences, from other managers talking about Roy. And I think if you listen to some of them, particularly from people like Pep, like Klopp, these high-end managers who are winners and have won stuff, the way they talk about him and the influence he's had on them and the way they respect him, I think will speak volumes this week. So, yeah, that's probably my... Just his sort of touchline demeanor. I mean, even in the early days, he used to do that kind of two-handed sort of yay pump when we scored a goal, didn't he? Which even that was quite sweet in its own moment. So, yeah, I think just his general sort of touchline.
What was lovely about that one, Jim, is that came a week after he was very vocal about how he was somewhat falling out of love with the game after the Liverpool home victory. And in that moment, you saw a man who remembered why he probably did say yes in the summer to being asked to come back and still had love for the game. And this second spell, particularly the second half of this second spell, has been very difficult for Roy. I think that's become clear, his short nature with some questions he's been asked, and just his general mood seems to have suffered as a result of the pressure he's been under. But that moment was lovely. And he had coordinated a comeback against the treble winners. Like, it was no mean achievement in itself to come back and get a point at the Etihad that Saturday afternoon. So there have been moments. I love that, man. That's a great show.
Sorry, can I actually change mine to the hour that I sat in front of him recording a podcast? That's probably a better option, a better answer, isn't it? I've completely forgotten that. The time when he gave an hour of his very busy schedule to us to answer our stupid questions. That was fantastic. And again, this is a good chance for anyone to go back and listen to. I think that's probably his last long sit-down interview, I think, possibly before he's left in this spell, actually. I might be wrong there. But yeah, that was a well-received episode, and quite rightly, because he talked at length about really interesting parts of the game and his upbringing as well. So you wouldn't get that with many managers. In fact, we've never had that with a previous manager, I don't think, since we've done the podcast. So that was a very, very special moment. And again, a measure of the guy that he was happy to come and do that and was wonderful to be in the presence of. So I'm going to change my moment to that one, if possible.
Perfect. Dom, have you got a memory you can think of that you really appreciate?
Well, look, you stole my thunder a bit, but Ben and JD, I thought the MacArthur game, in particular, the noise in that stadium and the glee was one big one, definitely. And then I was going to say the look on his face at the end of the 2-2 draw at the Etihad as well, just because it showed that joy for football still, and the sort of, yeah, that sort of bemused, it was a bemused smile, wasn't it? It was a sort of, my God, I didn't see that coming type look to him, which I think is endearing, because it shows that he still had that enthusiasm for the game. I was lucky. I mean, look, I covered his England team, which wasn't a joyous experience quite a lot of the time, particularly towards the end. It became quite fractious between press pack and beleaguered management staff, but I always found him at Palace to be really, really good company, always giving of his time. And actually the the memory that will probably last longest for me was actually going back to Monk's Hill School with Roy to do an interview with him for The Athletic, where he basically oversaw a training session with Palace's Down syndrome team, which was just amazing to watch how he sort of engaged with these kids, running around the place, just having such wonderful fun and pinching themselves that Roy Hodgson was actually there conducting the training session. And that, so, I mean, there are pictures from that event which will be out there in the ether, of, you know, the kids just hugging him as if he was, you know, a family member or a teammate, indeed, just sort of hanging off him, just loving the fact that he was loving it and getting them to do the drills. And there were balls flying past his head. No one really knew what was going on. It was fairly chaotic, and you know, people were getting taken out all the time with stray footballs. But he just he was completely unflappable. He just sort of thought this is wonderful. He was in his element. He was dealing with people who loved football, and he was one of those, and he will remain one of those, I imagine. I bet you he doesn't want to hang up his boots. Do managers have boots? Yeah, they have boots.
Whistle?
No, they don't have whistles. Were they? Well, clipboards, maybe.
In training, probably.
Hang up his...
tie?
Yeah, his whiteboard presentation tactical sheet.
Clipboard.
But I suspect he'll have the same enthusiasm once he's recovered from this... From the events of last Thursday, as he ever has. He'll be on the television, I'm sure. He'll be going off to do his UEFA and FIFA things like he always was, because that is Roy Hodgson. He goes hand in hand with football.
For me, the other thing that I really appreciate about Roy is his return last year. Like, everybody that listens to the Pod Extra will know that last year was a horrible year for me personally, and Palace's results were almost in line with the awfulness that I was going through, and we just kept losing games and kept struggling and making things difficult. And then Roy came in, and football is a distraction, right? It's ultimately a distraction from what we're dealing with in our daily lives. And sometimes it can be good and sometimes it can be bad, and people can channel all of that energy, whether it's their negative energy or positive energy, into it. And I think that when Roy came in, it just gave me and my brother and some, you know, my mum, a little bit of hope, a little bit of happiness in amidst all of the sadness that we were dealing with. And yeah, I'll always appreciate that of him, because it was just at a point where everything felt down and everything felt bad, suddenly going to matches and winning games and actually seeing us play really well. And actually, with a fully fit squad, we played some really good football last season. I know that it was a bit of a hybrid of the Vieira approach and Roy's kind of approach as well, mixing together. But whatever it was magical, and I really enjoyed it. And so I'll always be thankful to him for that respite that gave. Yeah, it was really special. Whatever the case, I think we all hope that Roy's recovery continues, and that he gets better really soon. I don't know, you know, we don't know what it was that resulted in him being taken ill. But either way, we were all very concerned for him, and really, we all just want him to be better, and we're all thankful to him for everything that he's done for Crystal Palace Football Club. That's about it, really, isn't it? I think that's it from everyone. Not much else we can say.
Can I use a phrase that Jack was using on the pod and seems to have stopped to sign off, which I think actually is perfect for now, which is, go well, Roy.
Yeah, that's it. Indeed. Thank you, Roy. Thank you, JD, Jack, Ben and Dom, for joining me. And we'll be doing a post-match podcast after the game tonight, which will be hopefully with Dom, potentially JD, maybe even Selzy, depending on what time he gets out of the game. So look forward to that. JD, there's going to be a regular podcast as well midweek.
Yeah. Jack and Joe. Jack, I think you guys are doing a pod midweek.
Yeah, Joe's in the chair. So I think we'll still get one in. Might be that might be where you hear your Johnny Ertl insight, possibly.
Yeah.
Lovely. All right, great. Right, well, look forward to that. Plenty of Palace content coming up. Hopefully Palace can get a win tonight. Thanks everyone. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.